Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. It is Monday, June 20th. I hope you guys all had a fantastic weekend. I was out at Columbus, Ohio for their big Pride Fest. My first time there since I've lived here, and I just can't believe the great job that everyone put on there. It was such a good festival. It's a two-day festival. It starts Friday evening, and it went from 4 o'clock to 11 o'clock at night in this, I think it's called Goodale Park, but I'm not sure. It's in this huge park. Then they have the parade Saturday morning, and they have the festival throughout Saturday day. Guys, there was over 600,000 people there. This thing is monstrous. If you've not been to Columbus, Ohio, in the Short North area, it is just amazing. Tensions were not high at all, considering last week's Orlando incident. The police presence was fantastic. The police there were amazing to everybody, and it was just a great time. I really need to thank True FM Online in Columbus, Ohio, for inviting me down there. They are the LGBT progressive station in Columbus. They were a major sponsor of Pride this year. And Michael and Curtis did a fantastic job. And Clayton ran the booth all weekend. He let me help him for a couple of hours. Especially there's Saturday, too, and that didn't happen. But I spent the weekend there, but we had a little problem on Saturday. I took Mom down with me, and we had a little issue. But everything was okay. So it was a great time. And like I said, Clayton did a fantastic job. Curtis and Michael should be very proud of themselves for being a sponsor of such a fantastic event. I did some pictures, some tweet outs. I hope you're able to follow along. It was a great time had by all. So we got some great show for you today. We have one of my idols, teenage idols, Sam Harris, will be on in just a couple of moments talking about Star Search Days and his new musical memoir he's put together. And then we have very good friend of the show, Blake MacGyver. You know, I love the guy. It's been so great to let us use his music on the show for this past year, one of my first guests. So he'll be on right around the second hour here. So we're going to have a fantastic show for you today. Lots to talk about in between. We're supposed to have our buddy Greg Archer be my co-host today. We had to bump him till tomorrow. He had of course, a business meeting. Those Hollywood types, so he had a business meeting today. So he will be coming in tomorrow with us. But we're going to get right to it here in just a couple moments. I'm so excited to talk to my first guest, Sam Harris. Back in just a couple of moments, I want to play a song I think is very appropriate with everything we've been going through the last week and with Pride Month. This was his song, My Reclamation. And we're going to go ahead and play that. We're going to be back with Sam just a little bit. You are listening to the Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
When the river is too wide to cross, and the water is raging too fast, when we see the destination but cannot make our way, we will build a bridge of brotherhood and cross the river at last. When the air is cold and black with hate, and the fog of condemnation burns our eyes, when the shadows of oppression keep us hidden from the sun, you can climb upon my shoulders until we reach the skies. For it is not enough to want and need it, and deserving doesn't make it true. I believe hate fails and love prevails. Take a stand, demand justice overdue. Singing, no one can take what is not theirs to give. No one can break you or choose how you live. And I don't need permission to have what is mine. I am weary of hostility, and I am saddened by the ugliness of fear. I'm confounded by morality that builds a bitter wall, but I will bear my heart to you so all the world will hear that it is not enough to want and need it, just to forward and to lead. I believe hate fails and love prevails. Rejoice the charge, take our voices to the street. Singing, no one can take what is not theirs to give. No one can break you or choose how you live. And I don't need permission to have what is mine. This is my reclamation.
Was My Reclamation by our first guest today. I'm so excited to have him on. He rose to fame so quickly after the inaugural season of Star Search, where he emerged as grand champion, and he's just never looked back since, performing in concert venues from around the globe to starring on Broadway and beyond in such great shows as The Life and Tommy Tune's version of Grease. He is currently morphing his huge musical memoir, Ham, which wowed audiences in New York and Los Angeles, into a film work. I'm so happy to have him on the show today. Please welcome everybody, the amazing Sam Harris. Sam, how are you today?
I'm so well. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you so much for coming on. I know you are just in a whirlwind tour.
It's a bit crazy right now. All good stuff, but you know, it's one of those days that I haven't showered yet. So I'm glad that I'm not in person. It would not be good. You know, I haven't heard that song in a while, and lyric in that time, it was written, you know, I wrote it after, with my friend Kevin Fisher and Todd Schroeder, during the whole Prop 8 thing. But I'm listening
right
to it now in lieu of everything that's been going on in Orlando. And it's my own piece, but it kind of hit me. It's like, oh, wow, yeah, there's still a battle.
No, it does. I had to play it. It's so appropriate. And back then, like you said, it was during the entire Prop 8 thing you were giving away for free, which I thought was so good of you. But
yeah,
it's like it just really resonates still today, which is sad. It still has to, but it's just so important.
Well, thank you. It does resonate. But it's a very interesting time we're in, right?
Exactly. Well, let's start off first with Happy Father's Day. I know you were on the road. Were you able to take Cooper and Danny with you, or did you get home last night and say, hi, Happy Father's Day, goodbye, let's go to bed?
Well, Danny actually had to go to London. And so
oh my goodness.
We got home, and Cooper started his camps today. So, you know, Father's Day was a regular day, but I am so grateful. It's my greatest joy, of course, is to be a father, and I have a great son, a great husband, and it's a good life. You know, I was talking to a friend, not to keep bringing this down, but I was talking to a friend about how I just forget, you know, I mean, I live a pretty wonderful life and have a great family and amazing friends. And it's hard to take in, you know, the kind of repression that would cause a crazy person to act out. And, you know, it's – hold on.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Anyway, I won't talk about that anymore. It's just that it's, you know, it's certainly present in all of our minds.
Well, yeah, it's a big thing. I mean, it's only a week old, and it's still very present in all of our minds. And it's amazing because we have, when you think about it, I mean, this is 8 years ago you were able to adopt Cooper, and it's like we have marriage equality last year, and then all of a sudden this happened Sunday, and realize that we really haven't gone quite as far as we think we've gone.
Exactly, exactly. And in the case of this horrible, horrible person who, you know, the more information that's coming out is his own self-loathing and the repression by his own community and religion, and it's not just Muslim, certainly, that turns
right.
this kind of self-hatred onto other people. And it's so weird and horrifying and strange to be in this time and still know that we're a target, still know that
right.
This kind of hate and self-loathing is out there. But we soldier on, and the life, you know, it's all changed so much in our lifetime. We've seen enormous
exactly.
change. Things that I didn't even think were possible or fathomable, to be married and have a kid is and to be an open, happy man. You know, I mean, when
right.
we were growing up, there were no role models at all. And here we are, you know.
Exactly. Well, like I told you off air, I mean, you were one of my role models. Where I'm about 2 years younger. I think I was just in high school when you were first on Star Search, and that was like the
uh-huh.
first time I kind of yazzed to myself, you know. And you and Rosie O'Donnell,
oh.
who I just adore. And when you guys
yes.
when you did your video, I'm a huge Sam Harris fan, obviously. So when you had Sam
well,
Two
thanks.
Back of the day, and you and Rosie announced it on your YouTube channel that you were having the baby, it was just so much joy in both your voices. She was more excited for you than I think you were. And it was just such a great time. And it's just awesome.
Yeah.
So like I said,
yeah,
it's kind
it's
of fun
pretty
stuff.
Great.
Now,
well,
I,
you know,
I
we
have
just have the one
just...
child, and Rosie has seven, like 30 or 40 children. So we haven't caught up to her yet.
Exactly. Right. And then, like, I have trouble finding my car keys these days. How are you taking care of an 8-year-old? That's got to be crazy. Did you ever think you'd be doing this in our age?
Well, I, you know, I dreamt about it. I fantasized about it, and it's full. It keeps me going constantly, watching the changes and the phases and the growth and the ups and the downs. But there is so much love, and it's such an extraordinary thing, and it goes so fast. I know everyone says that, but I cannot believe he's 8 years old. You know, my sister-in-law and he wear the same shoe size now, and so. But it's
oh my
gift.
Goodness!
It's an incredible gift.
That is so awesome. Let's start back just for a couple quick seconds on Star Search. I haven't on before, and everyone now knows the voice and the idols, and who knows
yes.
how many people remember our Star Search days that you and I remember. At the time, there was like 25 million people. There wasn't 8,000 channels back then. How huge did it feel
right.
at the time?
Well, it was amazing. I mean, you know, there's no such – you can't pay for that kind of exposure and that kind of platform that Star Search gave and now these talent shows give. But it was – you're right, there weren't that many channels. And so the viewing audience was much more concentrated, and the numbers that come at the end of these shows, The Voice or American Idol for their big finals, we had every week. So it was life-changing.
Right.
It was completely, you know, from total obscurity to – becoming a, you know, a household name in no time at all. And, you know, at a young age in which I certainly had sort of developed my style and my craft, but you can't really prepare for the things that come from that kind of exposure.
Right. Do you look back on it now and look at the jackets and the hair and go, oh, my goodness, what was the 80s all about?
Oh, my God, yes. Actually, we've been doing this Kickstarter campaign to fund the filming of the show that's based on my book. And as an added incentive, I went through the storage, containers and found – you know, Star Search jackets and the gold Converse tennis shoes and the different things that I wore then that are sitting in storage, and then offered them as incentives for people to fund the film. And so I just happened to have my hands on some of these relics, and it was certainly quite a time.
Well, I got to tell you, I was looking at it because I was following the Kickstarter. We're going to talk about all that in just a little bit. But I was following along, and I saw you add those things. It's like, okay, he's putting on the ruby high tops. He's got on the rainbow jacket. It's like, what am I going to do at Hard Rock besides gamble and eat now? I have to have something. You can't give away all this stuff, Sam. I'm telling you this.
Well, thankfully, I mean, we didn't. You know, a lot of it I maintained. But, you know, I kind of figure that's what these things are for, too. Yeah, they could be sitting in storage. And right now there's a Hollywood exhibition that borrowed a few things to show for a few months. But, you know, these things exist so we can have other things. And a lot of them have been sitting in storage. And if they can bring me closer to something that is happening now, then so be it. But don't worry. We've still got them, a lot of them.
All right. Good deal. I was worried for a second. I saw a couple of things I like weren't sold, so I was like, okay, well, I'm sorry I didn't make the money for that, but I'm really glad I'm still going to still see it somewhere instead of have to wait for pictures from some guy on his Instagram account or something, right? So talk about, you went from Star Search pretty quickly to Broadway. I mean, my life, I was able to see you, and I still have the program from that. How fun was that show?
Oh, my God, the life was an amazing experience. That cast was just incredible. So much talent and so much joy. And Cy Coleman, you know, wrote it. And he was like a child with his enthusiasm and his curiosity and the way he would get excited about creating this piece. It was an amazing experience. And, you know, to be doing an original show, of course, where songs are written and then tailored for you and created on you is a great experience, especially when it's a somebody who's such a master as somebody like Cy Coleman.
It was amazing. I didn't get to go to the stage door. I was so upset, but it was such a great – it was just joyful to be in there. It was so much fun, and I just loved every second of it. Do you – I mean, obviously, you brought your musical memoir to stage. Do you love the stage? Is that really what you like more now than just performing concerts? Or – I mean, you were everywhere. You were at Carnegie Hall. You were in West End Theater in London. What's your kind of preference these days?
You know – whatever I'm doing is my preference. I certainly love performing live. I love performing live. I love solo. I mean, this show, Ham, is a one-man show. And it's a taxing in a different way, just physically and emotionally and vocally. When I'm doing a play with other people, there is that exchange, you know. There's that you hold each other up and you have that's also a joy. And you see the same people every day and it becomes your family. And when you're doing it by yourself, it's a different road. Meanwhile, it's also fulfilling in its own way to be doing that by yourself. When I'm doing television, I love doing that. I love, three camera live television because it's like doing theater and except you get to do it again. writing. I love writing, and I had an extraordinary experience writing the book, Ham, Slices of a Life, and I've just finished the first draft on my next book, which is fiction. So honestly, I really love whatever I'm doing at that moment. I get involved, you know, I don't know. I so fully sort of experience. When I'm writing, I think, oh, this is all I ever want to do. And then when I'm performing, I'm like, oh, this is all I ever want to do. So it kind of it switches and changes.
And then when you're home beating dad, I'm sure that's all you want to do as well. I'm sure it's got to be very tough to kind of pick and choose and go between all the stages.
Exactly. Well, my criteria has changed a lot since I have a child. you know, I will not be going on some long tour. I wouldn't be away that long. This is my priority. So I try to choose things and schedules that will allow me to be my best dad.
That's awesome. We'll talk about it. Like you said, it all started off with the book. We got Ham Slices of Life, and you really kind of go into everything. You had a little bit of a tough time. Obviously, you were in the Bible Belt growing up. How early did you know you were gay? It seems like that kind of helped shape everything. And talk about those early years, because there's some fascinating stories there about Helen Keller wanting to be that. Just talk a little bit about how it was to do the book and to kind of relive all that for you. Talk about the book first.
Well, I had been writing some essays and some stories, and my friend Frank Langella really encouraged me to write without expectation, to write without thinking I'm doing a book or anything like that. He said, just write to create. And that really freed me. I took his advice, and it really freed me to just sort of go to those places. And, yeah, there's childhood stuff growing up in the Bible Belt. I think as far as knowing when I was gay, I think I knew I was different before I knew what to call it. And I think I knew I was gay before it had a label that specified shame.
Gotcha.
You know, I certainly heard, I knew. I mean, I think I knew very, very, very young before I had come into any kind of puberty. But certainly by then I was for sure. And then I fell in love when I was 16 years old. And when I had left home to do to work in another state, and I had left home and then ended up leaving high school early. And, you know, once I was gone, I couldn't really come back to Oklahoma. It's where I'm from. It's my home. I'm grateful to have been brought up there. But it wasn't a world in which I knew I could live. I knew early. I fell in love when I was 16. And meanwhile, you know, I was still in the closet, as we all were. And I didn't come out formally till many, many years later. But when I was doing my first records after Star Search, you know, there was it wasn't an open world. And so my record company and publicists and things were always, it was a secret. When I would do interviews, they were told not to ask personal questions, which was odd for me because I'm so transparent. I kind of like say everything that I'm thinking. And my husband always says, if I want to know what's going on with you, I'll come and see one of your shows. So was odd to sort of keep that secret. But those days are gone, thank God.
Yeah, thank goodness for all of us. We were all that way back then in the 80s. It was tough stuff back then. You're still really, like you said, you kind of knew what it was, but you didn't really know what to say. And then it was just a tough time. I mean,
it was tough.
I can't remember in my high school knowing another gay person. I know there was now, but at the time, it was hard for me to kind of even know there was others.
Well, we didn't know there were others, or there were the people that you suspected there were, but we were so afraid that we couldn't even really reach out to our brothers, which, can you imagine what a difference that would have made if we'd been able to befriend other people who were going through the same thing and not feel as alone and as crazy? It would have made a big difference. I mean, I had a suicide attempt when I was 16 because I realized that I thought that I would never be able to have any kind of a normal life. But, you know, the world has changed, and that's what the show is about. The show is about – that's what the book was about. And the book is not chronological. It's different essays and stories from around my life, my family, growing up, show business. It's a lot of funny, but it's a lot of not. And the show, however, is chronological. The show is going through the years. And even though it's the specifics are my life, I think it's relatable to everybody, not just gay. It's relatable to anybody who ever has felt on the outside at all in anything, which is pretty much everybody, right?
Exactly. Well, like I haven't seen the show yet. I've read the book, though. And, I mean, you talk about your son. You talk about how it's so different, how you're so different than he is, and all the different things in your life that everyone can relate to at some point.
Yes. And the show is about finding normal. It's about finding what is enough. It's about, you know, sort of it comes to celebrating all the aspects of your life and not wanting to wish some of them away, because if you are happy, then you must embrace even the very difficult times, because they are a component of who you are now. And so it all has to be celebrated, even the tough things.
Right. And you mentioned earlier, I think Todd Schroeder helped you kind of form this into the musical part. He is actually, we had Joan Ryan on in January, and he helped do her show at the Rockwell back then. But he seems to be amazing
yeah.
to work with. Has he really helped bring this together?
Well, yeah. When the show developed, because I was doing a series of readings of the book for promotion, but I didn't want to do it in, you know, bookstores and libraries, because it wasn't my wheelhouse as much as the theater. So I would read stories and put songs interspersed through it, and then it slowly developed into a theater piece. And then a couple of New York producers said, you know, this is really close. Would you like to further develop this? And Todd and I went to New York to work with Billy Porter, who's a dear friend and very, very smart guy. And he really helped move it from those readings to a show. And Todd has been integral in so much of it, musically, dramaturgically. He's a brilliant guy, and he's my musical brother. I mean, we've been working together for almost 22 years.
That's awesome. I didn't know Billy Porter had to do with Amazing from Kinky Boots, obviously, for those that don't know, but that's
yes.
kind of amazing story just there. That's awesome.
He, well, you know, he's a Star Search kid too. And then we did Grease together, and we shared a dressing room. So we've been friends for a very long time, but he's also quite an astute director. And what he really brought to the show was, you know, when I wrote the book, the stories were about these characters in my life and my interaction thing. And what Billy said was, you need to be playing all these people. So I play myself at all these ages, but I also play, you know, my father, an 80-year-old black woman, a tranny, a baseball coach, you know, all these different characters.
Right.
Many of which I have conversations with as myself. So it is, it's a play. It really is a play now. And a lot of the music is original.
Well, it's amazing. And then you're turning it into this film. So you do this Kickstarter
yes.
campaign, and if they haven't seen your trailer for the Kickstarter where you're playing all the characters just in the trailer, that was the most amazing piece of filmmaking ever just for that. It was hilarious. I loved it.
Thank you so much. You know, and that has nothing to do with the show. It's a pitch video about a pitch video in which I play myself,
right.
an agent, a publicist, and a producer. But it was so much fun we called it that Kickstarter harder thing, so it can be seen on YouTube if the campaign isn't still up on Kickstarter, and I encourage everybody to look at it. It's pretty funny, but the film is not a film per se, as that we're shooting it like a realistic film. It's a film of live show. We're remounting it at the
like a live concert.
Playhouse. Well, except it's a play. This is a show, and so we're shooting the live show in front of an audience, in front of three audiences, in July.
Fantastic. Now, you said you're just playing where? You're doing it at the Pasadena Playhouse?
We're doing three performances to shoot the show, July 9th and 10th. It's a fantastic venue. We're going to be doing it full production and shooting it in front of three different audiences. I'm so excited. It's kind of a big dream.
That's amazing. How was it doing a Kickstarter campaign? That would scare me to death. I'm always afraid that it kind of you put your ego on there, and it's like you ask for this and you're so excited, but it's one of those all or nothing things. Were you like sweating through it, or how was that for a first time doing that?
Oh my God, it was. I'm very grateful for it, and we were totally funded. But it was a full-time job. I mean, I was working on it, my manager, a publicist, all these people, and it was full-time. You were all constantly feeding the machine. I contacted and with every single person that donated money and wrote back to them and thanked them, because I was so, so grateful. But it was a full-time job and completely nerve-wracking. Because even though I've been told that it's a four-week thing, it's 30 days, that the first week is usually good, and then it kind of peters out the next two, and then your final week is when you get funded, it's nerve-wracking
right.
because you're waiting. whole project is relying on this thing. Meanwhile, we already booked the theater. We already had the production company. It's like we were moving full speed ahead.
I could imagine. I mean, the funding ended last week, and you got fully funded, and you're starting pre-production today or something. You have to go right after this and start getting ready for the whole show.
Yes.
So that's
yes.
just amazing.
It's very intense, but well worth it.
Well, I hope it's still up online because I've been, and I'm so mad because I was following. We've been talking to get you on for a couple of weeks now. And I've been following it along, and then I lost the date, and I didn't get to do my contribution. So I have to send you a lunch ticket or something. But it has some great videos in it. You got Jason Alexander and Rosie and Bridget Monahan and all these great people helping to plug it. It was just a great campaign. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I was very fortunate. You know, a lot of friends saw the show. The ones you mentioned, and also Jason Ritter and Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Lizzie Kaplan, these friends of mine who saw the show and then were kind enough to do these testimonials on the for the campaign. And, you know, again, it's like I'm such a blessed, fortunate person to have these kinds of friends and support and these fans who have been around for a long time, you know, who kind of wanted to see the same thing happen. So it's a good life. But on the other hand, in addition to that, I work my ass off. I work so hard all the time. And I love it. It's kind of the way it is. And my husband is the same way. So I'm fortunate and I am blessed. But I'm somebody who is driven. And when I would like to make something happen, I give it my all, you know?
That is awesome. Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer. I would talk to you all day long, but I know you have to get this thing made for us. I'm so excited to have you on. It's kind of a full circle show. I have you from Star Search. My next guest is Blake MacGyver, which is on there younger, and he's doing a show at Rockwell next week with Mary Lane Haskell, who directed you on our high school project back in 2007 for Viewpoint Cares thing. You guys helped raise $35,000 for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. So everyone kind of knows everybody today.
That's fantastic. That's great. Wait, Mary Haskell is here in town?
Yeah. Mary Lane Haskell, yeah, she's going to be Blake MacGyver and her are doing a concert show this Wednesday, the 22nd, at Rockwell, LA Table and Stage.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. She's wonderful. She's wonderful. Well, thank you so
they're
much
both
for
amazing.
Having me here, and I appreciate talking to you, and I love your enthusiasm.
Thank you so much, Sam. You have a great rest of the week, and thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to go ahead and stay on the line for 1 second. We're going to finish out with War on War, which I think is another appropriate song for today's day and age when you think about it. This was one of my favorite songs back then. We're listening to Sam Harris. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
There's a war on drugs and a war on crime. They say Jesus wants a war to wipe out Darwinism. There's so many wars messing up my mind. And most of all, you got your war of wars on terrorism. You say the American way is what we're fighting for, but I'm sick of the spin you put me in, so I declare a war. You tell me who to love and how to live and what to pray to. Then you kill and fight, cause you say you must. Depends on who we like and who we hate and who we pay to. You say the American way is what we're fighting for, but I'm sick of the lies you still deny, so I declare a war on war.
Nobody triumphs from obliteration. Swallow your ego and loosen your tie. Mr. O'Reilly, your tower is crumbling. Revenge is a temporary high. So bye-bye, bye.
No more war. I can't take no more. You can't justify. Another like brothers. Why can't we all be free instead of looking for the enemy? Raise the glass, salute the cap. The illusion of control is dangerous, and the rocket's red glare is more than I can bear. You keep me so scared and unaware, like I don't care. I'm not prepared for the government lair. My blindness to your unkindness justifies your war. My silence to your violence. Cause I don't believe you, and I can't forgive you. Don't want to see you anymore.
No more war.
All right, guys, that was Sam Harris with War on War. Big protest song back then. And like I said, the songs are resonating so well today, just like it was with his other song, My Reclamation. So I was so happy to have Sam on. It was a little tough for me. I hope I wasn't too tongue-tied or speaking too fast. He really was one of my teenage heroes when I was in high school, when he first came on Star Search with the big hair and the mullet and all the multicolored big old jackets and everything. He was just an amazing person. Him and Rosie O'Donnell the next season on Star Search were two of my all-time favorites and have been huge heroes of mine ever since. So that was fun for me. So thank you, Sam, so much for coming on. We're going to play his Over the Rainbow song, which is what helped him win that grand championship on Star Search, in just a little bit. We have Blake MacGyver coming on in about 20 minutes here. So we'll do a little music. We'll talk about a couple of things here. Speaking of other songs that really resonate with today's times and what happened in Orlando at the nightclub, we have two songs by LGBT artists that are making the rounds, put together in record time and just so good. If you haven't had a chance, go to YouTube. I believe they're both on, and they're both called Pulse. One is written and sang by Melissa Etheridge, of course, a goddess in our LGBT song community. And the other, also called Pulse, is by Eli Lieb and Brandon Skahe. That they actually performed it. I saw them last week. They were on Lawrence O'Donnell's show on MSNBC and performed the song. And they put this thing together from what they were talking about with Lawrence O'Donnell in record time. They wrote it like hours. They went down to Santa Monica and filmed it like 3 hours, 6 hours later, and put the thing up. Both of them are great songs dedicated to the victims of Pulse and to our entire LGBT community, as we remember and try to take care of that. So listen to those things. If you haven't seen them, go to YouTube, look for the songs Pulse by Melissa Etheridge and by Eli Lieb and Brandon Skahe, and both excellent songs. So impressed with both of them. So thank you to those three for their wonderful work. Also, more on that, the One Pulse t-shirts I talked about last week, good friend of the show, Paul has created these One Pulse. Paul Richmond created these One Pulse t-shirts. They say One Pulse and they have rainbow hands checking the pulse. He's a very famous artist getting ready to move to California. They were all over Columbus Pride this weekend, so excited to see those shirts. You can go to his website, I believe, which is paulrichmondart.com. paulrichmondart.com or paulrichmondartstudio.com. Look that up, and I got my T-shirt, and I was going to put a picture up in the slides today that are playing during the song, and I didn't. If you guys happen to listen to this on your smartphone or on podcasts, just through earphones and aren't watching it, I actually do put up some slides each week of the artists that whoever my guests are, I have slides on them then and things that we talk about. So you can always check out the slide that's at the Blog Talk Radio, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight, LEFTOFSTR and the number 8.com. You can always check that out, blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight. And you'll see the slot to the one shirt. I'll put that up tomorrow for tomorrow's show. I forgot to put that up today. But, yeah, that was a great success. So many of those great T-shirts out in Pride Columbus yesterday. I know there was also in Denver yesterday, and Chicago had their Pride yesterday. Pride Month is in full swing. I believe New York is this coming weekend. Cleveland and Youngstown area by me are in August. I'll be going to both of those. So, still, we got Pride Month going on, so that's kind of all exciting. Let's see, what else do we have to talk about here? Oh, I want to let you know that the app, we now have the iPhone app. As you know, if you haven't downloaded, it's Left of Straight Radio. If you have an iPhone, go to Left of Straight Radio in the App Store, and you will get the Left of Straight Radio app that has all of my Left of Straight shows on it, as well as my Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. So that's my Thursday night show, a little more serious, but also still fun with some great guests on there as well. That just got approved for Android this weekend, so it should be up on Android, I would say, within 3 or 4 days. I'll be sure I post that on social media for you. So now you can take the Left of Straight show anywhere you go just by going to Left of Straight Radio in your App Store on your iPhone now and on Android Play Store, Google Play Store, probably by Thursday or Friday. So I'm excited for that. Also, we have so much else happening for the show. July is going to be the one-year anniversary. I started the show last year. My very first show, I believe, was June 29th. It was 3 days after marriage equality was signed into law at the Supreme Court. My very first guests were the amazing Ben Patrick Johnson out of L.A., fantastic voiceover and activist for the community, voiceover artist and activist, and the amazing Kelly McCracken, who was one of the plaintiffs in the suit. There was Jim Obergefell, which everyone knows, and Kelly and her partner, Kelly No, were also in that suit that won for us for marriage equality. They were my very first guest on June 29th of last year. So July of this year, I am celebrating. July 4th is actually the first Monday. We'll probably not going to have a show that day, but on Tuesday the 5th, that'll be our official anniversary show. I'm going to have some surprises and some specials, some contests and giveaways. So be sure to either listen to that live or listen to that podcast. It'll be up immediately a couple hours later on the apps, and it'll be on the iTunes store after that because there'll be some timed contest stuff for that. It's going to be kind of exciting. And also, I want to announce that the podcast awards are live this Saturday at 8 p.m. As you know, thanks to you guys, I was nominated for Best LGBT Pod along with 9 others. It's the 11th annual award show for it. And, of course, this year they're doing it online. It's actually going to be a podcast of the awards. Last year they were in Vegas. When Scott gets nominated, we're going to do it online. Woohoo! Yippee! But I appreciate so much everyone that nominated the show, everyone out voting. There was 2 weeks of live voting every day for 2 weeks. You could vote. Thank you to all of you that participated in that. I really do appreciate it. So that is actually going to be the award show this Saturday, June 26th at 8 p.m., live streamed at www.podcastawards.com. It's the 11th annual show. They have about 10 different categories or so, entertainment, LGBT, health, and sports, comedy, all these great categories. So I will let you know what happens. I'm not expecting to win. There was, like I said, there was 9 people in the category, which is amazing because there was over 1,300 podcasts nominated this year. I don't know how many were LGBT, but there was 1,300 podcasts nominated. I was in the top 10 for LGBT along with my good friends, same-sex dialogue ladies, Kim and Katina Kyle. So the voting went on. We will find out live on Saturday who won that. We also have our good friend Marissa Pay from UBN, my sister network in UBN in LA. She was nominated in the health category. So I'm not expecting to win, but it'll be exciting. I will let you know what happens on Sunday morning, what happened to the award show. I'll tell you who won. But thanks again for all that. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. I want to bring another Sam Harris song, the song that made him a star when he won the grand championship of Star Search. This is Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and we'll be back. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found. If birds fly over the
With Over the Rainbow, Can You Hear Why You Won the Show, Kids? Yeah, that was the original talent show. Star Search was huge back in the day. If you don't remember it, if you're one of the youngins out there listening, it was sort of like American Idol and The Voice, but they had all sorts of different competitions besides singers. They did male and female singers. They did spokesmodel, female spokesmodel. They had to walk and talk and chew gum at the same time. They had comics, which Rosie O'Donnell was in. They had some great categories, and that was the big talent show of the day back in the 80s. So kind of fun to talk to him. And if you haven't listened to his, got his book yet, Ham, A Slice of a Life, check that out and look for his touring for the musical memo of it, because you will be in for a serious treat. A couple other things going on for me. I talked about, if you saw me on social media, I got a new car. So that's always exciting. I want to talk about that. For me, I was going, as you know, I'm staying at home with mom, taking care of mom here while I'm doing this radio show, living in the fully furnished basement apartment down here and taking care of mom upstairs. But we've been sharing a car for a while because my car was kind of going on the fritz. And we ended up leasing a new Jeep about a month and a half ago. Well, of course, new leases have 10,000 miles a year is all you can use. And with all the stuff going on in Pride and everything, the first 6 weeks of the lease, I put on about 2,000 miles on the car going all over to different places. So that was not going to work out for us. So I was looking kind of for a car for myself, what I can find. And believe it or not, everyone makes a joke about it, but you talk about the little old lady from Pasadena who has a car. This car was owned by just a little old lady that took it to church and back. You know how that joke goes? I actually found a car like that. This is a 2004 Chrysler Sebring, and it was literally bought by the mom of someone who works at the dealership where I got it from. Back when it was new, she has put 13,500 miles on it in the last 12 years. That's all. And because her son works at the dealership, it's been kept in tip-top condition. So she is now, unfortunately, in a nursing home, so doesn't need the car anymore. He doesn't need the car. He doesn't have any kids, or his family does not need the car. So they were selling the car from a good friend of mine that works – I have a good friend that works at the dealership that worked with this guy. And they were looking to sell it, private party. Like I said, it's an older car, 2004, but it's a beautiful, beautiful inside and out, leather seats, sunroof, beautiful condition on the outside, silver, 2004 Chrysler. And 13,500 miles, and I got it for just a few thousand dollars. It was a steal. So I'm so excited to be having my new ride. I'll be going around very soon in. Also, I want to tell you about a new show I'm starting. I'm so grateful you guys tuning in right now. Already 3 days a week, every Monday and Tuesday, we do the Left of Straight show here. Comedy, entertainment, foodies, and books. Mondays, Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern time. And on Thursdays, you've been so kind to listen to our Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, me and my co-host Kevin Hogan, where we talk about a little more serious issues in the community and outside of it, with dealing with different stigma, anywhere from body image and personal health stigma to HIV/AIDS to mental health to anything stigmatizing. We kind of talk through it. Kevin has started this Healing Stigma organization that helps to rid people of this. And we've been very lucky to have a great audience on Thursday nights. Starting this week on Wednesday, I'm going to be starting a new show called Standing on My Soapbox. And I kind of was kicking it about a week and a half ago. And on the day of the Pulse nightclub shooting, I decided to kind of test it out and do a town hall talking about that. And I liked it. I'm going to bring it in. It's going to be a call-in show. It's going to be every Wednesday, also at 2 o'clock Pacific time, 5 o'clock Eastern time. It'll last about an hour-ish until we run out of things to say. And it's going to be Standing on My Soapbox. We're going to take different topics. We're going to bring different guests in. And it's going to be a call-in show. I want you guys, my listening audience, to call in. So listen to us live. I'm going to give you all the information on how to do that. You can do it through Spreaker. You can be able to do it through Blog Talk Radio here, a couple ways you can call in. And we're going to rant on what's going on in current events that week, any certain topics. So kicking it off this Wednesday, I have a comedian from Orange County, California, Southern California, Nick Stadler. He's going to be on. He has a comedy show that he's hosting coming up this next week, and he also hosts one every week at a club down there. And we're going to talk about a bunch of different things. We're going to kind of stand on our soapbox and go for it. So I hope you guys will listen into this brand new show. It's going to be every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern time, 2 p.m. Pacific time, called Standing on My Soapbox. And I'm going to invite you guys to send in topics of things you'd like to rant on. It can be anything from politics to religion to things you're not supposed to talk about on the radio in good company. But the stuff we're going to have fun on, just kind of rant on for an hour or so. I'm going to invite all my celebrity friends to call in every week and see who wants to join in this discussion. There could be 1 to 5 different people calling in. Like I said, if you have not listened to our town hall about Staying on a Soapbox for last Sunday's Pulse nightclub shooting, we did it the day of. You can find it on the app or on my website, www.leftofstraight.com, our SoundCloud account. And we had a great conversation with Ronnie Kroll and Eddie Lobo from Friend Movement. We had Rob Watson from Out in Santa Cruz radio show and Rated LGBT radio show. We had Carrie Droll, entertainment producer and great ally to the community. We had Suzanne DeWitt Hall and her wife, Diane. Suzanne is a fantastic author. And we had also Curtis Davis from True FM Online in Columbus. It was a great town hall talking about Pulse. We'll be doing something like that. We invite people to call in and just have a great conversation every Wednesday. And we'll kind of play with the format. We move to a Saturday when more people are home, so we'll see what happens on that. So I hope that you will look forward to listening in. We're going to go ahead and get ready for Blake MacGyver to come on in just a couple seconds. He will be here, and we're going to play one of his songs right now. Let's see which one we should play. Oh, I love Mother. We're going to play Blake MacGyver's Mother, and he'll be on in just a couple minutes. He has a show coming up this week at the Rockwell Table and Stage in L.A. So stick around. You're listening to the Left of Straight show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Here's Blake MacGyver with Mother.
Mother told me, listen, child, my beauty is the sea, and my anger makes it wild. A star will burn until it dies, my earth will shake until I make all my children cry. Mother, help me when I cry. Mother froze and watched me die.
Mother held me when I cried. Mother froze and watched me.
That is our next guest, Blake McGyver with Mother. So excited to have him on again. He was one of my very first guests when I started this whole thing last year. You know him, of course, from People's Couch and his early life as a young star on things like Full House, Little Rascals, and also Star Search, which we talked about earlier. Last year, his marriage equality-inspired anthem, This Is Who We Are, was hugely popular, came out right after the big marriage equality Supreme Court ruling. So excited to have him on back then. He's now been completing his fourth season on Bravo's hit television show People's Couch and has been back singing regularly with one of his best friends, Mary Lane Haskell, in their own web series, Sip and Sing. So here to talk about that and the concert they have coming this Wednesday. Please welcome back to the show, Blake McGyver. Blake, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I just want to thank you so much for letting us use your music this past year. Everyone loves whenever I play a Blake song between guests.
Oh,
so thank you for that.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. I appreciate the airplay.
No problem. How are things going out in beautiful, sunny California?
Good. Really hot. I'm sitting directly in front of my air conditioning unit right now.
I don't blame you. Well, man, so much things going on for you since we've talked a year ago. It's just crazy what a year can do, huh? It's a good thing in life of an actor slash singer.
Absolutely. Yes. No, we like being busy. I have to remind myself of that some days this month because I, you know, have moments where I'm like, did I bite off more than I can chew? But no, it's great to be busy and I've got exciting projects, and it's really wonderful. When you get to do what you love, there's really no room for anything but just gratefulness.
Exactly. Well, I'm so happy to have you back on. I was thinking about you last week. We had, last time we had you on was all celebratory. We had this big marriage equality ruling. You made this beautiful new anthem. And now it seems 1 year later, we're back into realizing that really it's not as safe and friendly as we thought it would be a year later, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's been a tough couple weeks. You know, with all of these things, it feels like, you know, one step forward, two steps back. But the important thing is that the conversations are being had that need to be had. I mean, I hate that the circumstances, you know, had to be what they were to facilitate these conversations, but it's a tough time. It's a really tough time.
Right. Well, I was thinking of you because I knew we had Pride last Sunday, and of course you have jillions of friends, but you know we had Emerson was down at the Laguna Playhouse. He was so nice to call in last week, and Scott's in New York. So I was thinking, what's Blake going to do all by himself at LA Pride? I was all worried.
Oh, no. I actually for LA Pride, my friend that I think you know of, the comedian Justin Martindale, he did a benefit for up at the Laugh Factory on Pride morning, and it was hosted by the Disney company. And so we actually got to ride on the Disney float at LA Pride. And it was really awesome because, you know, the mood was definitely slightly fearful, slightly somber with what had just happened the night before. But as soon as the people saw the Disney float come by and we were just like singing and dancing, and it was really moving to watch people just smile and light up for the first time since the tragedy.
That is so awesome. And I know that Disney is your happy place, right?
It
you and your mom and dad seem to love that place.
Totally. And so when I get to work with them, it's even better. So
I can imagine. Well, man, we had so much stuff coming up I want to talk about. Let's talk a little bit about the show first and the Sip and Sing show and your Blake's Musical Happy Hour, because that I was a little upset at first. Last year you said you were going to give us a new song every month, and I haven't seen that. But then I got to have Blake's Musical Happy Hour, and I was all happy again. So
right.
The impetus for that show and then how it kind of morphed into Sip and Sing. But talk about those shows and how are they to do? Are you having fun with them?
Absolutely. And it's a total blast. You know, I was trying to find – I interned at a couple of reality production companies and did some think tank work just kind of on the side to just sort of see what the temperature of the business was right now in between seasons of The People's Couch. And what I found was that everybody in television is trying to find what is a way that we can make TV appointment television again. Like everybody DVRs everything or streams it on Netflix or Hulu. You know, companies are scrambling
right.
to find like, what do we have besides award shows and sporting events that make people want to tune in? And where we're moving forward to is a television that is fully immersive and interactive. And so I started thinking and brainstorming about how could I fit into this new landscape. And so I sort of came up with the idea of doing a variety show that was completely interactive, where I was actually talking to my audience live in the moment. But sort of using an old format, like a Dean Martin show kind of style, very laid back, very casual, conversational, but for now. And so that's kind of how Blake's Musical Happy Hour came about. And then, as you know, I had as a special guest on my show many times, my dear friend Mary Lane, and people just lost their minds for our dynamic together. So we thought, how can we capitalize on this? And that's how Sip and Sing was born. We just sat down and brainstormed. We were like, how can we make this, you know, the best it can be? And so we shot a sizzle reel, and it's being shopped right now to other outlets. So hopefully it will grow even beyond our YouTube channel. But we're still doing it once a week on YouTube, and you can find that at Sip and Sing. And so we're just excited to see where it goes.
Well, it's amazing. The two of you are so talented alone. They don't get together. It's just a powerhouse in the making. I mean, I love the whole concept of Happy Hour. I kind of maybe miss a little bit the surprise guests and different things, but I think that could all be incorporated. I'm sure it's going to be eventually, but you two are just magic together. Just amazing.
Well, thank you. And yes, we are working towards a larger format. We're taking a hiatus in July because we both have movies to film separately. And then we'll come back together in August when we've got we're working towards building the format back up to where we do have many more guests and some on-location things and some really fun, exciting, different episodes coming in the end of the summer.
That is awesome. I'm supposed to have you tell Mary Lane hi from my first guest, Sam Harris from Star Search.
Sam, yes.
Because
yes.
Yeah, because I guess when she was like a senior in high school, and she directed and produced this huge Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS with him and Lily Tomlin in it, and he remembers her very fondly, of course.
Absolutely. I was in that benefit as well.
Oh, were you? I didn't even see you on that playlist. Wow, okay.
Yep. Yeah,
that is exciting.
Davis Gaines, and it was a wonderful, wonderful show. It was really, really a whole lot of fun.
Now, how did you and Mary Lane meet? Tell me what your guys' backstory.
Our parents were dear friends, so we actually grew up together. I was actually at the hospital as a little toddler the day that she was born. That's how close our families were.
Nice. Wow,
so,
that's
yeah,
very
it's
cool.
It's truly like a sibling relationship. It's really wonderful.
That is so cool. The show has been so fun. I think I put some pictures up on here, and we're going to play a couple of songs from it. But I just about lost my whatever with Star Wars Cantina parody. I think that was the funnest show on May the 4th. That was so great.
Oh, thank you. You know, I dug up that song.
Now,
I had remembered hearing it. A friend of mine had given it to me way back when the special edition of Star Wars was released in theaters like 97, 98. I had heard that parody for the first time, and I had just remembered it. And so I was like, I'm sure we can find it on YouTube, you know, find the lyrics somewhere by now. And sure enough, there it was. So it was great. It was fun to be able to throw back.
That's hilarious. And Nocella, that was a lot of fun. I love the little
yes.
insight. I didn't know about things going on down south. There was other concerts going on. That was a fun one.
Right. We have a good time riffing on pop culture.
And I love the On Location. I'm glad you're going to bring that to the expanded show, because that was fun to see you guys out at Shake Shack and over at Flaming Saddles there. And, of course, you found wine at Shake Shack. I thought it was so appropriate from your words. That was fantastic.
Yes, I'm like a bloodhound when it comes to wine. I can sniff it out.
So I have to ask you to tell me the story, of course, from your New York episode. Talk about Heather Headley and Flowers, because I know what a fan you are, but I need to hear firsthand about that entire experience.
Absolutely. Yes, as you well know, and anybody who follows me across any of my social media platforms knows that I'm a Heather Headley super fan. You know, some people have their pop diva queens, and I have Heather. And so I literally flew to New York just to see her in The Color Purple. That's what a dedicated fan I am, or crazy, however you want to define it. But I decided when I got, you know, like a half hour before the show, I was like, you know what, I'm going to bring her flowers. It's just a thank you. I'm going to write a note saying, you know, how much she's inspired me over the years, and to just say a nice, you know, proper thank you. And so I got to the theater, and what I thought was the stage door was not the stage door. It's like where the Jacobs is in New York is like a conglomerate of three theaters. They share a back alley, and so I couldn't find my way to the stage door. So I asked the house manager. She directed me. I went down this crazy alley. I was behind some musicians from the Pit that, like, held the gate open for me. It was like a buzz-in gate. I was like, I am not supposed to be here. I'm definitely going to get thrown out or arrested or worse. And so I just kind of like
– too funny.
I sort of just charge forward and follow the signs for the Jacob stage door, and I see the Color Purple sign on the door. And I open the door to the stage door thinking, okay, well, here it goes. I'm just going to hand this to the stage door guy, and that's going to be it. And I open the door, and the first face I see sitting on the stairs right behind the door is Heather. And I sort of just
– oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I just sort of like freeze, because what do? The stage door guy comes over and he's like, can I take those for you? And I said, yeah, actually they're for her. So he takes them out of my hand and puts them right into her hand. Because, you know, backstage in New York is like 3x3. It's tiny.
Right.
So she stands up and she goes, I can't believe you brought me flowers. And I was like, well, yeah, I said, there's a note in there. I had no idea I was going to see you before the show. I would have never, you know, disturbed you. That's like the worst thing you can do before a performance is, you know, bother someone. But she was like, no, please come over here. She's like, don't leave. Can I give you a hug? Like, I've got to give you a hug. And I was like, yeah, of course you can give me a hug. She gave me this beautiful hug and thanked me. and then sort of put it together who I was and how many times we've met over the years. And then I just said, have an amazing show, and went back into the alley and broke down and absolutely sobbed my eyes out, and then went into the theater and sobbed for the next 2.5 hours because it is the most moving show on Broadway.
Oh, I can imagine. I would just been in a puddle right then in front of her. Oh, my goodness. And then the Tony's performance was just amazing. The whole Tony show,
world.
I thought, was really good this year.
It was fantastic.
Lin-Manuel's speech, of course, just alluding to Orlando and everything. Just every
yes.
piece of it. I can't find one bad thing. I loved James Corden even in the carpool karaoke. Was just the whole thing was just magical.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
Amazing. Yeah, it was really fantastic. That was a great year for the theater.
So now you guys have done 10 episodes, and you're going to take a little break, like you said, and we'll talk about all that stuff. But you're actually going to bring the show and do a special live episode while you're at the Rockwell this Wednesday. Talk about the
yes.
show you have coming up Wednesday.
Yes, we have a very exciting live show coming up. I'm doing just a regular concert that night on Wednesday at Rockwell in Los Feliz. Which I'm super excited about. I'm doing a bunch of new covers that I haven't done before, some original material as well. And then about halfway through the show, we are going to actually go live. We are going to live stream from our camera on stage and do a live Sip and Sing that you will be able to watch on YouTube, as well as the audience, obviously, in the room. So it's going to be really exciting. It's the first time we'll have basically a live studio audience for our show. And so we will do a full episode of Sip and Sing from the stage of Rockwell. So I'm very excited.
That is amazing. Is this the first time you're back there since one of your last gospel brunches?
Yes, it is. It's my big return to Rockwell after a long hiatus. So I'm really excited. I love the room, and it's a great place. It's a great venue, and I love the people that run it. So it's always exciting to come back.
I have not had a chance to go to a show there. There was nothing playing the week that I was down in LA, but I just hear it's amazing. I loved watching your videos and Periscopes from when you guys did your gospel brunch there. I know my good friend Alexander Rodriguez has done a couple shows there, and you guys are doing this for a steal. It's like $15 a ticket this Wednesday. That's amazing.
Yeah, we wanted to make it really, really affordable. I wanted everybody to be able to come, especially in light of everything that's been going on in the world. We are going to have a very lovely tribute to the victims of the Orlando tragedy. And so I just wanted, I didn't want this to be about, you know, me selling me. It's not a night of narcissism. It's a night of celebratory music and healing music. And so I just wanted it to be available to everyone. So I had to kind of fight with the club and be like, no, one ticket price, no VIP seating, no special meet and greet, just we'll all be in the room together and experiencing it together.
That's fantastic. And I think they do food and drinks there, right?
Yo, yeah, wonderful food and fabulous cocktails and a great wine list. It's a great night.
Well, I looked online today. There was just a few tickets left. If you go to rockwell-la.com, I believe is where they can get tickets. Anywhere else besides that website?
That is correct. You can get tickets there. That links you directly to. I've also got the links up on all of my social media. So you can go to my Facebook page, Blake McIver Official, and that also has the links to tickets. So for anybody in Southern California area, please join us on Wednesday night. It's going to be a blast.
Fantastic. Well, let's give everyone a quick little sneak peek of you and Mary Lane together. I kind of stole this off one of the shows. It's you and her singing another one of our favorite girls, Beyonce's Halo. You guys are just amazing when your voices combine. This is Mary Lane Haskell and Blake McIver with Halo. We're listening to the Left of Straight show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Didn't even make a sound. I found a way to let you in, though I never really had.
And that is Halo with Blake MacGyver and Mary Lane Haskell. I got to tell you, you guys, I don't know what you use to record, but I'm stealing it off of YouTube video, but your recording when you listen to you live is just amazing. You guys sound so great together. What do you guys record off of?
Thank you so much. That is actually just the live sound in the room. No filters, no help, no, just the mic on the camera and the music in the room.
Goodness,
like, that is it.
That is amazing. It's amazing because every single song, every single show is just pitch perfect sound just from the recording and you guys. That's just amazing. I think that's so cool.
Thank you. Well, and when we started it, we made a concerted effort to, like, you know what, we're not going to produce this. We're not going to overproduce it. Like, we're living in a world of, you know, anything can be auto-tuned. Anything can be fixed and made absolutely beyond perfect. So, like, our thought was, you know what, let's just be raw and whatever happens, happens, and we'll rehearse it and we'll try and get it right, but it's still live. It still has the excitement of live.
That is so cool. Well, I hope everybody checks it out. It's on your YouTube station. And let's talk about some other projects you have coming up now. You talked a little bit. You're going to be filming a new movie this summer. Tell us about that. What can you let us know?
Yes, I have a cameo in Del Shore's new film, A Very Sordid Wedding, which is the sequel to his cult hit, Sordid Lives, that then spun off into a series and has been performed as a play all over the world. So I'm very excited. Del approached me when they were in pre-production for the film after This Is Who We Are, my single, came out, and he wanted to use it for the film because the film is all about marriage equality, as is the song. And so we filmed a music video specifically for the film, which I'm really excited is going to come out in conjunction with the movie. But then he was like, I kind of want you in the movie as well. Are you willing to do that? And I said, oh my God, absolutely. I'd kill to be in it. So I can't tell you much about it, but I can tell you I have a very hilarious scene with Leslie Jordan, who plays Brother Boy in the film, and it's quite riotous.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it already. That's fantastic. Now, were you up there when Whoopi Goldberg was up on set? That would have been amazing to me. I would have died. When did you have to fly up?
I missed Whoopi by about 12 hours.
Oh, my goodness. We had Emerson Lawn last week, and he was talking about the story, and she just seems so gracious the entire time. I'm glad she's like everything. I hope she is in my mind. That is so cool. And then you're going to Florida for another movie?
For a live show. In addition to all my other many odd jobs, I direct and choreograph a live theater whenever I can because I love doing it so much. I haven't had as much time to do it. But one of the singers from the very popular online band, Postmodern Jukebox, they take pop songs and they make them sound basically vintage. They pick a different decade and they've got millions upon millions of hits on YouTube. They've worked with some amazing singers. Well, one of them, her name is Ariana Savalas. She approached me about building a spinoff show for her. And so we've been working for the past month sort of building this new show, and we're going down to a gorgeous resort called The Colony in Palm Beach, and we're building the show there. It's kind of like our out-of-town tryout. Before we bring it back to LA and put it up. So it's an awesome, like, cabaret burlesque musical, and I am the choreographer and director of the show. So it's very exciting. We're going to have a blast down in Florida.
Congratulations. That sounds absolutely awesome. And
thank
is it going to be a big cast, or how many, is it just her?
No, it's a small cast. It's just her and three other people. So it's a tight, sort of small cabaret feel, but we are eventually going to expand it into a fully produced production. So this is sort of our first go at it. But I'm very excited. It's really great material. So I'm looking forward to it.
That is awesome. Now, I'm a little worried for your signature hair. You're going to have a whole bag just of products to deal with that moisture and humidity down there.
I know, right? No, it's actually good. It's better. My hair loves the humidity, so it's fine.
There you go. You got to make sure everything on point there. Well, that's so
exciting
for you.
Yeah, no, it just gets bigger.
And then you're working on a little bit of new music. You said you have some new music possibly coming out by the end of summer.
Yes, it's actually already recorded. We've recorded and mixed the vocal. I just haven't done the background vocals yet. Is the only thing that I'm waiting on, because things have been so crazy. As you know, our People's Couch season got extended. So we did 20 episodes last season, which was amazing, but I wasn't banking on in the other corners of my life. So everything else had to kind of go on hold. So yes, there is a new single that is almost finished. So I'm hoping to be able to release that in August, right when I get back from Florida.
That is so cool. Such a busy man. And like we said, we just finished the fourth season of People's Couch. Like you said, it was extended. And I think on Fridays went really well. How did you guys feel like it went on Fridays? It seemed like it was such a more party atmosphere. Everyone on Twitter talking about it. And it was as much fun for you guys as it was for the fans?
It absolutely was. And, you know, usually when a network moves the show to Friday, it means certain death. That's sort of known as the television graveyard of time slots. So when they announced that originally, I thought, oh, well, this is the end for us, like, because that's just, you know, I've been in TV for 20 years, so I know these things. But it was hilarious because when we moved to Friday, so many people were excited about it. They were like, great. Now I don't have the pressure to go out. This is my favorite show. I'll just stay in, you know, pour a drink and have a good time. So it didn't affect our ratings in the way that I thought it was going to, which was wonderful. I thought, okay, great. Let's do it. Let's be the niche. And also we didn't have a lot of competition because not a lot of network shows play on Friday night. So it was really great.
Right. That's fantastic. Well, my friend, I am so proud of everything you're doing and thank you so much for coming back 1 year later. I mean, just things are going so great for you. I'm so proud and so happy to have known you on social media and see all these great things happening for you. Now, you're known for Sip and Sing for a signature cocktail. Do we have a sneak into this Wednesday's cocktail so we're ready when you're live, or is that super secret?
Well, it's going to be, it is actually a little bit of a secret because we're very excited because for the first time we don't actually have to make our own cocktails because the bartender at Rockwell is a friend of mine. And so he's actually going to make our cocktails. And so we are going to pick our favorite cocktails from their menu because they have an amazing, he's a great mixologist. And so there's really cool, interesting things. So we'll be talking about it, but you have to tune in to see what we'll be drinking.
Fantastic. Well, let's go ahead and give everyone the social media address for the web series and for your, of course, Facebook and Instagram and all the other fun things on Twitter. Give everyone that real quick for us.
Absolutely. You can find everything on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/BlakeMciver Official. On Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Blake McIver. And you can find Sip and Sing on YouTube if you just search for Sip, the letter N, and the word Sing.
Fantastic. And are we going to have a special surprise performance by Miss Susie Ewing maybe on Wednesday?
Oh, I wish we were. But she will definitely be in the audience. She will definitely be there. You will be able to hear her even if you do not see her.
I miss a little Blake's mom. She is all so wonderful. So that's just awesome, though. You know, my friend, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. And we're going to go ahead and play out with another Blake and Mary Jane, which so appropriate. You guys sang it on your finale of Sip and Sing. And after what happened last Sunday, what about love? So thanks, my friend. We appreciate you being on the show. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Thank you so much.
Never felt nothing.
And that was Blake MacIver and Mary Lane Haskell in What About Love. Guys, it was a great show today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks to my guests, the amazing Sam Harris and Blake MacIver, two Star Search alums, all about our Musical Monday here. So many connections all over the place today. Thank you so much for listening in. Like I said, this Saturday will be the Podcast Awards live at www.podcastawards.com at 8 o'clock. If you're not doing anything and want to listen in, we'll see who wins the LGBT category that I'm nominated in. So it should be a lot of fun. Other than that, we're going to be here right back tomorrow with another great show. We're going to be continuing talking to our Sorted Lives friends with Alexander and Rosemary Newell, who played two amazing parts on Sorted Lives. They're reprising it for a very Sorted Wedding. They'll be our special guests tomorrow. They're going to be a very Sorted Wedding cruise happening next March, right around St. Patrick's Day. They'll talk about that, and I think we're going to have a call-in from the person in charge of booking that cruise to talk all about that. And then our very special co-host and guest is going to be Greg Archer. He has a fantastic web series, The You and the Me, that just finished up not too long ago. And we'll be talking to him all day tomorrow. And at the end of the show, we're going to do a pre-taped interview that I had with the fantastic ladies of Same Sex Dialogue. They're a podcast that started in December. Two lovely lesbians that just got married last month. They've put together this fantastic podcast starting in December. Just going crazy by leaps and bounds. They are so popular and such sweet people, and I'm so happy working with them. We have a pre-taped interview we did actually the day of the Pulse shooting, so we were kind of a little on edge, but it went very well, and we're going to do a pre-tape interview with them tomorrow for the last part of the show. So thanks for tuning in. If you don't already, please follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Left of Straight. That's LeftOfStr and the number 8. You can look for all of our episodes online at either the website, www.leftofstraight.com, or SoundCloud, www.soundcloud.com/leftofstraight. And, of course, on iTunes and on our new iTunes app. And by this time next week, you'll also be able to get it on our Android app. So thanks so much for listening in. This is Scott Fullerton, your host. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show every Monday and Tuesday. Remember, this Wednesday we are going to have our brand new show called Standing on My Soapbox, where we're encouraging you to call in. So look for the information on that. We're going to end the night with another song from Blake MacIver, one that I played a lot last week to show solidarity for Orlando. This is Who We Are by Blake MacIver. We'll see you tomorrow, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Pulling past the signpost, this tiny weathered town, the tears welled up so high inside, I thought that I might drown. Everything different, but it all looked the same. And now you're here beside me, and I'm rid of all my shame. I just hope that they will see what is always I love you. Bless his heart, and I still hear the whisper. whispered words that said I'd never be apart.